one of those days let you just know that you're blessed. And those who have been a part of your life, and leaders like Karen Roberts ministering to kids, sharing the Word of God, establishing a foundation in their lives. And it's those type of leaders that are willing to do that, give up their time. And I'd be remissful not to recognize a man of God, and that spoke into my life when I was about like this big. Mr. Jim Weed invested in me. He was my youth leader when I was in Fairbanks. And although it's been some time, today he's here. And I want to thank you, Mr. Weed, and for being so instrumental, being a part of my life. And I don't know that he would have ever thought, nor would I for sure, thought I would be here sharing God's word. And so, in front of company, family, I just want to thank you, Mr. Weed, for speaking into my life. There are other of you who are guests and visitors here. I just want to welcome you here this morning. Thank you for being here. I know that you could be anywhere else. And thank you for those who are viewing on Facebook, all the way from Fairbanks and all other places off the edge of a boat or out of Seward and other places. Just want to welcome you here this morning. I do want to thank you all for the birthday celebration last week, as I turned the big 60 last week. And so having the general director of Church of God Ministries here to be a part of that was special, but having family here to celebrate, that's even more important to me to do that, to share that. I also want to speak to, where'd she go? Oh, well, she'll be back. Yesterday, Nora and I, we celebrated 35 years of marriage. And so I just, 35 years. And some people say, oh, you're just getting started. And others are going like, wow, that long? You've been married for 35 years? And I think all of us know in this day and age, you know, where that was definitely the norm, it is not these days where people are not sticking with with each other through the challenges. And so a lot of that has to do with building that home, building that marriage on a good foundation. And so we're going to look at that this morning. And so if you will, please turn your Bible to God, turn God's word to Genesis 2, 18 through 24. 18 through 24, that's where we're going to start at this morning. And it says, Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is my bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Heavenly Father, this morning we come here to glean from your word and to worship you. We've lifted our voices in song, and Father, I pray that you would steady our hearts and minds so that we would be able to walk out of this sanctuary just a little bit different than what we came in. That we would be examples. That we would be children in which you would be proud of. Father, guide my words this morning. In your name I pray, amen. It's without a doubt, whenever, I don't know how many of you have ever built a house before. And for those of you who have, you know that it's not necessarily an easy feat building our house, a house, or having a house built. At first, you know, you've got to select on the plans. How many bedrooms do you want? How many bathrooms? The garage, all of that. You've got to secure a building permit. In most cities and boroughs, there are building codes. And I think Alaska is probably one of those places where people are like, "I'm not going to build by no code." They just go out and build anything they want to. But even still, there are things that you've got to do and things you've got to comply with if you're building a house, especially within the borough or city limits. Of course, these buildings, you know, when you're building, there's regulations. There's a lot of things you've got to do. You've got to make sure that the foundation is straight. And, you know, you have that friendly inspector that comes out and says, yeah. Or they say, "Oh, no." Or it's something little. And you're like, "Come on, man." You know, and so whether it's that or the plumbing, they have to be built to a standard. With a home, not a house, a home, we also need to follow God's building codes that are found in His Word, His love letter to us. When God established the first home in the Garden of Eden, He gave them some building codes, a way to live by. So this morning, let's just look at instructions for building a home. The first thing is, when we're building at home, you've got to make sure that you have that solid foundation. You have to have that solid foundation from which everything else is going to be built upon. You want to put the house on the best soil, and you ought to build your home on the best. So I have a brother, a friend that will attest to this. There are homes like in Fairbanks that are not built on good foundation. And most of us that have lived in Alaska for a minute know about permafrost, right? And yet there are those who have built their structures on them. And now, as time has passed, the houses are like drooping in the middle or something else because they didn't build on a solid foundation. Some attempt to build a home on faulty foundation. Some people marry for the wrong reasons. Some enter marriage expecting this happy, extremely happy life. Oh, we're getting married, and it's going to be fine, you know. Why am I doing that? They're expecting, you know, the picket fence, you know, the 2.5 kids, you know, garage, you know, everything's just great. That's what they're expecting. And the thing about it is, if they don't have that, then they leave. They just give up. Others marry out of infatuation. They're like, oh, man, that guy has got the gun. Well, okay. That guy's got a gun club going on, right? Look at him. Guys looking at the women like saying, oh, jeez, that young lady is nice looking. I've got to marry her. I think it probably, if there was a way to like take a picture of us when we get like 80. This is what you're going to look like when you're 80 years old. And say now, realize that beauty is only skin deep. Others panic. They get to a certain age and they're not married, and they just get married because they're like, I've got to get married. My opportunity, my chance of getting married, of having a mate, it's slipping away. They're looking for some type of security with someone else. And the Bible has the only proper foundation for building a home. And it's spoken in that text that we just read this morning in Genesis 2:24, where it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. In other versions of God's word, it says they will cling to. It says they will leave and cling to. They will cleave to one another. And that's the basis of what we should be doing as man and wife, clinging to one another. Cleaving to one another. When you build a home, you want to have the best of materials, all right? And so, of course, again, the city, it has its own codes for what you can build. If you're down the south where there's a lot of hurricanes, you have to have these hurricane ties in when you're building that structure, because that's the code. And so you want the best of plumbing fixtures and everything else. So what kind of materials do you need to make a good home? People. Houses, you need material. For a home, you need people. And I will say this because let me start with this. To have that good foundation, the good material, go to 2 Corinthians 6:14, where it reads, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for my partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with the darkness? In other words, what I'm saying here is, if you're a child of God, marry a child of God. I don't know any other way to put it. If you want to start off with the best material, Christian, marry a Christian. Now, I will tell you that I've witnessed a number of folks who said, well, I'm a Christian woman and I'm a Christian man, and you know, I can pray them into believing, and I'm telling you that doesn't often work. And I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that when Nora and I were married, that I was going to Bible college And then we met at Bible college, and then we sang in the choir, and then she fell in love with me. And that seems to be the scenario at most Bible colleges, right? But that's not the case. But what I will tell you that because of the foundation that was in my life, a man like Jim Weed, who had a part of that foundation, God said, you know what? I know a good foundation was laid in you, JR. We just need to flip you. We just need to gut out all that mess that you've attributed, because the foundation is good. And if you want to have the best of a marriage, both of you will want to follow and believe in the one true God. Otherwise, you're going to have challenges. I guarantee it. There's something about when you're up here and they're down there, it's hard to pull them up. It's hard to pull them up, but it's so much easier if they grab a hold of you and pull you down. I'm just telling you, that's just the way it is. I was in preparing for this, I came across this illustration that spoke of this young fiance who was learning about her husband who didn't believe the way she did. She cried to her mom, "Mom, what should I do? He doesn't believe the way we do. We're children of God, and he says he doesn't believe in hell." And her mother said, "Honey, that's all right. You marry him, and both of us will make sure he believes in hell." And so, wow. A spirit-filled person in God requires the best of materials. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, to allow the Heavenly Father to work in you and around you, both of you, to have that relationship with him, you can't beat that. That's the best of the material when you're building a home, when both of you are following him. When you build a house with the best, you want to build a house with the best workmanship. When you build a house, you want to try to find the best carpenter you can find. You want to find the best plumber that you can. The best sheet rocker. I had my hand at sheet rocker. Now they deserve every penny they get. All right. So, but you want to get the best of those in those traits that they can build that house. Likewise, to build a home, you want the best workmanship is needed. So what is needed? Learn to adjust to the marriage relationship. When two people get married, both have to work hard at adjusting the way they live. Before you're living your life, it's like, hey, it's all about me, and that's all that matters. But when you come together as one, you've got to put yourself to the side. And you've got to do is, it's incumbent upon you to make sure that you do the best you can and put forth an effort for the other one. Put them first. When you put your mate first, oh, how life is so much easier. And that there's all those things that you've just got to get accustomed to when you come together, when you're making decisions as one. And those roles that each of you play, and talking about things, there's nothing too little that you can talk about, that you can discuss. Discuss your money matter. That's important, because when you discuss your money, then you find out what are your concerns, and what are your wishes, and what are your dreams. It's not easy. Being married is hard. And if anybody tells you anything else, just walk away from them. It is hard. But anything worth having and holding for a lifetime, it's going to be hard. There'll be some overtime that will be required. You just can't punch the clock and say, okay, I'm done. When you're doing this, when you're building the best, when you want to make sure that you communicate, that you communicate, that you communicate. And even after 35 years, I'm finding out sometimes I don't do the best of jobs communicating. That was the case this last weekend in this whole thing getting ready for this birthday celebration. I didn't share with my wife that I already had plans for my birthday weekend, that I'd already signed up for a choir that I was going to be in at a jazz festival. And she's like, what? I can't believe, she's like, what are you doing? And she didn't want to give it away. And so she just rolled over and I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. And then she called my sister Benita, and she's got a nickname now, the handler. And so she called me, my sister called me, she goes, no, you're not. You need to cancel all the implants. But how much easier it would have been if I'd have communicated, oh, by the way, a month ago, that, hey, I plan on being in this choir. And that's something that's little. But you need to communicate even before you get married to that prospective spouse. You need to communicate with them. Communicate with them your expectations. It's important. And you need to communicate those things that are deep inside that you've been hiding. I have a couple pastor friends that they just found out some things about their brides after being married some 30 plus years. And if only that could have been communicated earlier, how their husband could have spoken to them, have better spoken to them. Communication is the key. Sharing your thoughts and your wishes, your intentions. I get it. Sometimes listening is hard. We hear a lot of stuff. And I'm just, guys, we're probably the biggest ones at fault. We hear a lot of stuff, but we're not listening. You can hear things, but we're not listening. We need to listen and not just go, uh-huh, yeah. Now these guys are looking at me like, JR, you just went a little bit too far. But we got to listen. Because if we're not listening, we're not going to hear what's on the heart of the one that we've said we love the most. We need to practice that self-disclosure, sharing our thoughts, our dreams, our goals. It's important. And when we do that, it strengthens the relationship. When my bride knows what's on my heart, and vice versa, it just grows us closer. Conflicts, they're going to happen. Inevitably, they're going to happen in every marriage. And how do you navigate those conflicts? In other words, how do you fight fair? First, I would say to you, parents, loved ones, that remember, you're an example to your kids. And how you navigate conflicts, your kids are looking at you. And they're saying, oh, well, my mom got mad. She just, slammed the door or something else. There was a lot, it got exploded. Maybe you're like, you know what? I never seen my parents argue. I never seen them. I don't know. I never seen my parents argue. It's like they had rules. And I think that each of you as parents, you need to have rules of how to fight fair. Huh? One thing, hey, let's decide on a time. Let's decide on a time when we're going to talk this out. And don't throw those "you ought," "you should" type verbiage at one another. And the name calling, that accomplishes absolutely nothing. You got to remember, you're God's children. And he holds you up to a certain level. And when you start dipping down below that, it makes it hard. It makes it hard. Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger." Yeah, you can be mad, but don't do anything silly. Don't sin in your anger, and don't let the sun go down. Now, I know that here in Alaska, all right, that leaves you a lot of room, right? Especially in the summertime, right? You got almost 24 hours to be mad, right? But in the winter, you got about like that much time, right? You have about that much time. Above all, husband and wife, you need to practice Christian forgiveness. Forgive one another. Own your junk. You know when you're wrong. Deep down inside, you know that you're wrong. But you just want to fight about it anyway. You just need to own up to your junk and say, "Honey, I'm chewed up. I messed up. And I'm sorry. I'm the reason why we're at this point where we're at right now. I'm just asking you to forgive me." And your partner's saying, "Okay." No. Yeah. It's your mate saying, "You know, you've known it's been your fault, but I love you anyway." You see, what Father has put together, nothing should tear us apart, right? Mm-hmm. Lastly, we need to build our homes and protect it against storms and pests. You know, when you're building a home, you know, especially in the Lower 48, you know, you want to treat all the wood before you even put it in the ground. Make sure that termites and the like, you know, don't destroy your home. You know, like I said earlier, when you're building in certain areas, there's code in which to make sure that your home is not destroyed. When your house is not destroyed, homes need to be protected from little pests too. Little things can creep into your house and be destructive to your home. Little foxes, if you will. And what does that mean? Don't let culture creep into your house that's totally opposite of what God's word says. I'm just telling you, once you start letting in let's just say it's something on Netflix, all right? And you're like, "Oh, it's got this rating on it." You're like, "Well, it's not that bad." And you start letting that in your house. Something that doesn't speak, something that if our Heavenly Father is looking over your shoulder, because he is, he would say, "Well, why are you watching that?" When you let that stuff start to creep in, it only gets worse. Keep those things out of your house. Keep them out of your home. We have a very good example, the very first home, Adam and Eve. Look at their home, because they let something creep into their house and see where it got them. If it can happen to them, then it can happen to you. Both of you as husbands and wives have got to keep things out of your marriage that are destructive. Well, I would just, I feel blessed beyond all measure that I've been married to my bride for 35 years. And whether you've been married for 6 months or 50 years, and you're beside that one, especially if you're beside them right now, would you just grab their hand, husbands and wives, get the kids out of the way, just say, hey, okay, you don't have to. Husbands and wives, hold your hand, their hands, and say, I love you, because God has placed us together for a time such as this. God wants to see your marriages succeed because marriages are God-ordained. It was His idea. It was His idea to begin with that man and woman should come together, leave their folks, and cleave to one another. Husbands and wives, cleave. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this life that you've allowed me to walk on this earth. I'm so thankful for those influences that are still a part of me. And Father, I know that there are those who are within my hearing that they've been influenced by those same type individuals, those encouragers, those Barnabas, those people who have lived life a little bit longer and have lived it in accordance with what you have directed them to live by your word. And Father, it's my heart that husbands and wives would come together with you as the king of their household. Father, we know that there will be challenges, but that they're not insurmountable as long as we have you. So Father, bless these marriages that are here. Grow them. Grow them in a way that they would become examples for those who are following behind them. Their children would say, look at my mom and dad. Look at their marriage. I want mine to be the same way. And when we live according to your code, how much better our marriages will be. In your name I pray. Amen.